Remember that you can always ask questions and things, and some of the things you can ask when you get into your grow groups, but if you've got questions in here, we can do that as well. So when we talk about peace, sometimes you hear people say things like, I need a little peace and quiet. And oftentimes we hear the world talking about peace, and then we hear people talk about the peace plan for the Middle East and all these kind of things. But we think about peace. What about peace in our own lives? We want to realize that God has given to us peace. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world. He says, this is not the world kind of peace. This is the kind of peace that he gives, and we call it the gift of peace. And so what are we talking about? What is that? So we're going to raise two questions. One is, what is peace? And then number two, what are the different kinds of peace? And we'll see what it is. Let's just start with the first thing. What is peace? And simply put, is peace is tranquility, serenity, absence of trouble, absence of strife or disruption. And when you think about it, that's what you think about a peace. You say, you know, I don't have anything bothering me, so to speak. I don't have problems. I don't have conflicts. I can rest. And we think about that, and we realize that sometimes you have two things, and they're at odds with one another. And so you say, well, I wish there was peace there. I wish we could have peace and those kind of things. And so that's what the word peace means. It's irene in the Greek, and that's what it means. It means an absence of strife. And we're going to see that God talks about peace. So here's the question that we've raised. What are the different kinds of peace that we find in the Bible? And I'm going to give you just three aspects, and we'll talk about them this morning. There, first of all, there's peace with God, there's peace of God, and there's peace with others. Now, they all make sense, and we'll see them how they fit together. Let's start with the first one, and that's peace with God. And what are we talking about? We need to realize that before we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we were enemies of God. We were not at peace with God. In fact, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one who seeks after God. In reality, we were in rebellion against God. There was not peace with us. And so when we think about our lives, we say, what about before you trusted in Christ, you were in rebellion? In fact, I wanted you to see a verse that you don't always think about. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 7. It's talking about the flesh. That's us. It says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It's talking about the flesh aspect. There's a part of us that's inside of us that's in rebellion to God. And as an unbeliever, that's how we live. We live in the power of the flesh. And immediately, we realize that we're enemies of God. And so that's what we have, and we are in rebellion against God. And as long as you live, and we're going to talk about it more later on, as long as you live in the flesh, you're going to always be at enemies. But what did God do? And here's what we find, that God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, we're going to see that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. And that's the story of the Bible, how God so loved this world, that God, the perfect God, brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. God showed his love for us that while we were sinners, Jesus Christ came and died for us. Now, I want you to notice this key. Look at this. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we're reconciled, we should be saved by his life. The first part of the verses I want you to see. But if while we were enemies, we were enemies, we were brought back to God through Jesus Christ. And that is the story of the Bible, that God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. So first of all, here we are as unbelievers, and we are in rebellion, and we have strife and conflict. We don't even realize it, but we're in open rebellion against God. We're going our own way. We're doing our own thing. And yet, what did God do? He so loved us. He sent his son. What did God do? That while we were enemies, he sent his son. And here's what happens. What happens when we trust in Christ? Look at this verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that the moment we trust Christ as Savior, suddenly we were enemies, and the moment we trust Christ, we are reconciled to God, and we have peace with God. Now, remember that. There's two different kinds of peace. This is peace with God. We're no longer enemies of God. We're no longer in rebellion against God in that sense. We have peace with God. And so we're not in rebellion against him anymore. In fact, who are we now? Who are we? We're what? We're children of God. We were in rebellion, and God demonstrates his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If while we were enemies, God reconciled us through his Son. When we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. So just think about this. No longer are you an enemy of God. And see, he wasn't your enemy. You were his enemy. You were the enemy. You were the one that was in rebellion. You're the one that was going astray. In the garden, when man sinned, did man come looking for God? No, God came looking for him. Did you go looking for God, or did God come looking for you? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So now, guess what? We have peace with God. I love this. In 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for our sin, the just for the unjust, to do what? To bring us to God. So first of all, every one of us in this room have peace with God, right? Because that have trusted Christ. I'm assuming, of course, that every one of us in this room have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. So having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. So that's an incredible thing. But here's the second thing. There's a second thing called the peace of God. As we live the Christian life, we can have the peace of God. And this is different. This is not just a relationship with God and now we're brought back in harmony and there's not strife and everything. This is as you seek to live through your Christian life, the peace that God offers, the peace that who he is can come out in our lives and we can have the peace of God. And we want you to think about it. As we live the Christian life, we can have the peace of God. And the way we do that is the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody get me, anybody know Galatians 5? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit? What's the first one? Love, joy, peace. There it is. That's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control against which there is no law. I mean, yeah, there's more. But I just wanted you to look at the third aspect. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you have peace. It's called the peace of God. It's not peace with God because you already got peace with God. This is peace of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to show you something. If you live in the flesh, there's sin. If we live in the Spirit, there's peace. So you can have the peace of God as you go through life if you're living not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're living, if you're abiding in Christ, if you're living righteously and godly, if you're doing all the things you're supposed to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, look at this right here. Romans 8:6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is what? Life and what? Life and peace. That's how you have peace. The peace of God. And so we have peace with God when we trust in Christ. We have the peace of God when we're walking in the Spirit, when the fruit of the Spirit comes out, because there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of that. I love the passage in Isaiah. Look at this right here. Isaiah, when you trust in God, there's perfect peace. Here's what it says. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You have the perfect peace of God coming out in your life when we trust him, when we live according to the Bible, when we seek to live for Christ. So it's really a powerful, powerful truth. So I want you to think about it. The peace with God comes by faith. And that we were enemies in rebellion. Jesus died for us. God offers us salvation. God wants to reconcile us to himself. And the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. But then as we seek to live the Christian life, we want peace as well. We want to have the peace of God. And the only way you can do that is have the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of that. And the way you have the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life is you're walking in the Spirit. You're living in God's power. Because if you set your mind on the flesh, there's death. If you set your mind on the Spirit, there's life and peace. And he says to us in Isaiah, you, talking about God will keep him in perfect peace. His mind has stayed on God. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're thinking about God, when you're seeking to live for him, when you're putting his word in your brain, when you're seeking to be a godly person in that sense, you can have the peace of God. Now, let me show you a very famous verse that we use all the time. Watch this. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious. It literally says, stop being anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, what are you supposed to do? let your request be made known to God. So when you got an issue, when you feel conflicted, when you're bothered, you know, and you don't know what to do, he says, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And notice what? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want to have the peace of God? Walk in the Spirit. Let your requests be made known. Don't be anxious for things, but lift them up to God. And his peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your minds. That means you can live for him. You can live for him and have peace. Now, we're not through because we got one more, but I want to show you that having the peace of God and peace with others ties together. I want you to see this verse right here. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Okay? Good. Remember, we talk about this sometimes that believers talk about joy. But as Prof. Hendricks used to say, I wish somebody would tell their faces, you know, because their faces don't have joy. He says, rejoice. Aim for restoration. What does that mean, aim for restoration? Because sometimes people what? They've broken their fellowship with each other. They're not getting along. And it says, aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. And then look what he says here. Live in peace. In other words, we're going to talk about peace with others. We'll do it in a minute. And look what happens when we live in peace with others. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So the peace of God comes when you also get along with others. Let me just say this. You can have peace with God, which is by faith in Christ. But if you want to have peace of God, you also have to have peace with other people. Because if you're in conflict with other people, you're not going to have the peace of God in your life. Right. It's not going to happen. And so this is what he says. So he says, restore, comfort, agree with one another, live in peace. And that's what he goes on to say. Agree with others, live in peace. And what happens? The peace of God is there. So here's the third one, and that is peace with others. Now, the first one was simple. We believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And what did he give us? We have the peace with God. And the second one is not as simple because it means that we have to walk in the Spirit. It means we have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have to live righteously and godly. We have to do those things. And the peace of God can come out in our lives. However, the third one is even harder because this has to do with a relationship with other people. And one thing sometimes people don't understand is their relationship with God is affected by their relationship with other people. And if you're in conflict, remember we said, he said, if you don't forgive others, he will not what? Forgive you. And we're not talking about salvation forgiveness. We're talking about fellowship forgiveness. And so the whole way of living this Christian life is not only having peace of God when we walk in the Spirit, but the peace of God when we have peace with others. God wants us to have peace with other people. And it's really powerful. And this ties into the peace of God. In fact, look at this one. Look at this. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Now, if you look at the flow of the passage, and I don't want to have to go there, but I want you to understand, I've had people come up to me and say, I got to make a decision, and I want to have God's peace. I want to have the peace of Christ before I make a decision. And they use this verse. This verse isn't talking about making decisions. This verse isn't talking about having some kind of peaceful feeling. This verse says, let the peace of Christ rule. The word rule means umpire in your plural. It's plural. Hearts. He's basically saying, get along with one another, have peace with one another, to which indeed you were called what? Into one body, and be thankful. And so this peace, the peace of God and peace with others, ties together. It all functions together. And so it's really, really powerful. So we are to be at peace with each other. So we'll stop for just a second before we go any further. So we've seen peace with God, and peace of God, and peace with others. And we realize that peace of God and peace with others go together. You cannot have one without the other. Now, the only way probably you can have the peace of God without peace with others is if you're on a desert island by yourself, and it's just you and the monkeys maybe, and you can, and then you might be mad at the monkeys, and then you're out of fellowship there, or whatever. But anyway, so I want you to see some verses that are really hard because we live in a culture, we're fallen people, We're new creations in Christ. And yet, when somebody hurts our feelings, or when something's not the way we want it to be, sometimes we break off our fellowship with people, and we don't have peace with them. In fact, we're usually angry at them. Listen to what, here's some verses. Look at this one, Romans 14, 19. Let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. He says, do what makes for peace. Do what builds up one another. You remember Ephesians 4:12? 4:11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the what? The building up of the body. That's the upbuilding. That's how does all that happen? As we pursue peace with one another. Look at this. This is a great verse. If possible, so much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, we got to stop for a second on this one, because you may do everything you can to be at peace with somebody, and they won't be at peace with you. You may do everything. You may go to them and say, if I've done anything, I'm sorry. I'd like for us to be friends. I'd like for this. And you can do everything, and they may not. And so this verse says, as far as it depends on you. And let me tell you, when you've done all you can do, guess what? You've done all you can do. And that's what it means. And so there sometimes you may be at peace with somebody. They may not be at peace with you. And that's all you can do. And do the best you can. It's a fallen world. And sometimes there are people who are not Christians you don't have peace with. And you need to try to have peace with them. Sometimes they won't be peace with you. And then sometimes there are people in the body that are friends or that are members of the same body. And something's happened, and you've done everything you can to get them to have peace with you and to make up, so to speak, and to be reconciled, and forgiveness and everything else goes in there that we've talked about, and they may not do it. And so that's why he says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all people. Best that you could do. And then one of my favorite verses is this one. And to esteem them, he's talking about the other believers, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves. He's saying, live at peace among the fellow believers. Listen, we sometimes read the Bible, like 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, this is 1 Thessalonians. We read those books and we think all those people were so perfect. Do you understand that that when he wrote to the Thessalonians, and you know what some of the problem was? Some of the problem was there were people who said, Jesus is coming back. He'd come back any second. We're not going to work at all. We're just going to wait for Jesus to come back. And so they weren't working, and they expected other people to feed them. And they got people got into arguments, and that's where Paul wrote and said, if you don't work, you don't what? You don't work, you don't eat. And he says, you know, the Lord's coming back, but be faithful till he comes back. And so he writes to them, and he says, to esteem them very highly because of it, be at peace among yourselves. And it is not easy to be at peace. So I want you to stop and think, is there somebody in your life, in my life, in our lives, that maybe we are not at peace with? Maybe a fellow believer that something's happened. And, you know, if you want to have the peace of God, we've got to have peace with others. They go together. And you may, there may be somebody that you'd say, yeah, JB, I've done everything I could to have peace with them, and that I've done all I can do, and that's all you can do. But it's possible, you know, that we may say, well, maybe this is something I need to work on or to do. So God has it that believers can have peace with each other in a fallen world. We can have peace, the peace of Christ, and peace with others. So God, in his grace, has given us peace. Peace with God comes by faith. Peace of God comes by walking in the Spirit. Peace with others. And that comes as we walk in the Spirit and deal with our relationships and fellowship with each other. So let me give you four applications, and then we can go to the Grow Group and spend some time talking more about it. If you got a question in here, you can always raise it. But here's the first one is this. Let's understand the types of peace found in the Bible. Did you know that I've talked to people and they didn't know, they never even thought about peace, but they might think about the fruit of the Spirit, and they say, yeah, love, joy, peace, yeah. And they don't understand that the peace of God is different than peace with God. Every believer has peace with God, but not every believer has peace of God. So let's understand the different types of peace found in the Bible. Let's be thankful for the peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, because we were enemies. We were like sheep going astray. We were doing our own thing. We were in rebellion. We lived in the flesh, which cannot please God and doesn't even want to please God. And yet, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're no longer enemies of God. We're reconciled to God. We're brought back into that fellowship and relationship with Him. We ought to be thankful for that. In fact, every day that we wake up, we should, the very first thing we should do is say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And thank you so much for giving me eternal life. The third one says, let's walk in the Spirit and let's let our request be made known so that we can have the peace of God in our lives. Now, as you walk in the Spirit, you have peace. As you bring your request, because he says, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will come. Yeah, basically, so walk in the Spirit. Let your request be made known. That's the key. And then here's the last one. May we, as much as possible, be at peace with other people, especially believers. Now, the reason I say especially believers is because Jesus said this. He said, you love God and love others. Love others as I have loved you. And he says, when you get along, when you love one another, when there's the peace, when all of this, he said, they'll know you're my disciples by your what? But you love one for another. If we're arguing with each other all the time, especially in a public aspect, the world's going to look at us and say, they're no different. So as much as possible, be at peace with other people, especially believers, so that we can have the unity of the faith. That's why I love the Ephesians passage where he says, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. Unity of the faith. And that comes about in a lot of ways, but that comes about by us believing the same thing and also loving one another.